Are there ever situations where it's okay to lie? Like if you're in Nazi-occupied Germany and you've got Jews that you're hiding in your home, is it permissible then to lie and say, nope, we don't have any Jews here? So I'll turn the question for you guys to answer.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better.
Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here. I've been away a little bit. It's good to be back. But I've been enjoying every week of Written in Stone and the various hosts, participants just love the many, many voices. And we have a brand new voice on the podcast today. First time here, Bill Soans. And that name may sound familiar to you because his son, Matt, is a frequent flyer on the podcast, our ministry's lead. But now you get to see a little bit of where one of Matt's most significant influences, but Bill's also been a real significant influence for Jason and I. We've known you for many, many years, and so glad to have you on the podcast, especially on this topic. But we are on week number 9 out of 10 commandments, so getting close to the finish. And Jason, second time at bat, you did week 3.
Yep.
Name in vain.
Yeah, do not bear God's name in vain.
And now, do not lie. So why don't you give us your sermon in 60? Let's bring people up to speed.
Yeah, he just said what it wasn't. So one of the things I talked about in my message, the 9th commandment is do not bear false witness against your neighbor, which some people like to summarize as do not lie. But God's a lot more specific than that. He's talking about how we treat our neighbor, our other people, what we say about them, or lying about other people, and how serious it is. Like I tried to dive into with a few stories, the amount of damage that can happen when we're willing to share untruths, half-truths, rumors about other people, and even how Jesus took it so or God took it so seriously. He set up additional laws like, you need more than one eyewitness. If you lie about someone else, then you're going to have to pay the same punishment that they're going to try to prevent people from lying. I wrapped up the message, though, with the hope of the gospel, that it was the very breaking of the 9th commandment when Jesus was falsely accused that put him on the cross, and it brought healing to us, forgiveness to us, who are liars and perjurers and slanderers. And so we should be people of truth. But we have healing and forgiveness through Christ's death on the cross.
Yeah, I learned a lot in there. Yes, thank you for the correction. So there is a very specific context there. And it's also, I'm also feeling like it's very horizontal. It's just really stressing the fact that, you know, we had some commandments that were very vertical, you know, in orientation towards God, but how it is the relational impact of these commands that stress the harm or, you know, that potential harm.
Yeah, one of the things I highlighted in the message, kind of calling back to week number 3, which was the vertical side, don't bear God's name in vain. I summarize this, don't misrepresent God. But the vertical side has an impact on the horizontal, where week number 9 is do not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you could summarize as don't misrepresent others. And when we misrepresent others, we misrepresent God, and we bear his name in vain.
Jason, I was really struck in the pre-preach of just the shrapnel impact. I know you've got many stories in there, but the shrapnel impact of bearing false witness. And you touched on a lot of different areas. I don't think anybody, as we listen to the message, is going to be off the hook on this one.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you've made this clarification that the specific context here is bearing false witness, you know, testimony against someone else. It's what you say, how you represent others, which then maybe raises the question, well, is lying okay? I mean, is God not saying lying is wrong? Is it okay to lie?
Yeah, so is it ever okay to lie? It's kind of raising that question. It's interesting, as I was studying this, there's some who, and I think there's good reasons for this. You look at the Ten Commandments, trying to get my train of thought here. Where were we going there?
Well, it was just, is it ever okay to lie? And maybe you were looking at situations where scripture seems a little ambiguous.
So one of the things that people do with the Ten Commandments is that here's a specific command, but then they turn it into a category. Like, don't murder means like don't like take, use your power against other people. Don't commit adultery means like don't do any like sexual sin. And when you go to don't bear false witness, then you turn it into the category of lying, being people of untruth. It is interesting because when Jesus then takes the Ten Commandments in the New Testament, that's often what he does. He digs down to the heart level of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So underneath the command not to lie about each other is to not lie in general. But I don't know that you can get right from this ninth commandment to not bear false witness against your brother or against your neighbor, overall statement that lying is never something you should do. He doesn't command us here not to lie. Now, there's other things, places in Scripture where you could build a command. You know, Jesus or Solomon says God hates, lying lips or dishonest lips, and the New Testament calls us to be people of truth, just as God is truth Himself. So there is a principle there, I think, of not lying in general, and I think one of the things we talked about was the ethics of lying. Are there ever situations where it's okay to lie? Like if you're in Nazi-occupied Germany and you've got Jews that you're hiding in your home, is it permissible then to lie and say, nope, we don't have any Jews here? So I'll turn the question for you guys to answer before I try to answer it myself.
Yeah, Bill hasn't shared much. Solve that for us.
Oh, I'm not sure I can solve that for you. I mean, I think that would be about a four-hour podcast at least. So I think when we look at those specific situations, whenever I was listening to the message, Jason, I could go down rabbit trails, but for me, it kept coming back to the false witness piece. So, you know, the questions around the Nazi Germany, situations to where we're protecting another life. I think those are interesting things, but sometimes I can get away from really what the scripture is speaking to when it comes to false witness and go down rabbit trails to try to justify and get me away from my own behavior where I need to deal with the false witness piece.
Yeah, so we could easily use that question to evade a heart level issue that we need to deal with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a legitimate question, though. So I don't know, Brad, if you
have
thoughts.
Situations. Yeah. So there's, the one similar to Nazi, that's one we can relate to. But the story, is it Exodus? Is it Genesis?
Shiphrah and Puah.
Genesis, yeah. Shiphrah and Puah. We had a whole message on it. Was the Hebrew midwives who lied or instructed other midwives to lie. That appears to be the story, that they said, oh, those Hebrew women have their babies before we ever get there, which apparently was not true. But God seems to praise them because their heart was to save a life. And I have, there's even Jewish tradition, some teaches that saving a life is more important, than some other commands. So it really, as far as the Sabbath is concerned, you don't keep the Sabbath if it costs someone their life, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to rescue a person. You're going to step in, and do that. So is it a hierarchy of commands, where we're just following a higher value that sometimes allows it?
I don't want to be defended. Is our lie going to cause damage, or is it going to be for the greater good?
Well, and that sounds to me like situational ethics.
So that's an ethical question, and I think you can build principles based, on God creating us in His image and wanting us to thrive and be healthy and to protect us from evil, where there could be a situation where you need to lie in order for the greater good to protect someone from evil. But it can be very easy to excuse a lie once you start getting into these quandaries of like, is it okay? Maybe it's okay and I can lie here and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a tough call. I'm a little uncomfortable with some of your statements, to be quite honest,
in what way?
Well, I don't want to be in a situation, are you saying that it's a good idea to lie if I can get
good out of it. That just seems to be like the reverse way or the wrong way to think about it. It would just be like...
Well, it's like if someone was knocking on my door in the middle of the night, come down, and they said, "Where's your kids?" You know, I'm not going to tell them I have any kids. You know, like it's the kind of situation right. where I feel like you lie for a greater good. You need to protect other people, and I think that there could be situations.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I wouldn't want to be in a situation where, what lies could I tell really help people out? Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's what we're saying. We're saying that there are situations where we're forced into no option but to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, in a life and death situation. You know, for instance, but. Bill's counsel is sound. Let's deal with what this command, deals with. I've been thinking, can you have other sins without like lying and deception being pulled into it? This almost feels like, you know, so many sins would be stopped in their tracks if we didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, lie or didn't deceive, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to commit adultery, there's going to be some lying involved. If you're going to do some stealing, probably some lying involved. You know, you're scheming to do someone else harm violently.
Genesis chapter 3, they steal and then they lie about it.
So it just feels that it's such a deep sin to root out of our hearts. It's just, but if we could, it would just help us. You know, so much it would just stop other sins in their tracks. We've seen situations where lying was the enabler, was the one, was what kept a sin from being addressed.
Bill raised the question, like, why is it that we lie? Like, or even lie about others? So, I don't know, Bill, if you have thoughts about why do we let our hearts get to that way where we're willing to say half the truth or not the whole truth? Yeah.
Well, you know, when I think through this, we're marinating in a culture of deception and of lying and making ourselves look good and making people look bad. Mm-hmm. So we will do whatever it takes or can do whatever it takes to elevate ourselves and put the other person down. So we're marinating in that culture. A second thing that I would say is that we do not have our theology of God. We don't understand who God is. Is that it says in God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. So God never lies, and he sets the examples for us. A third thing that I think about, Jason, I know that you've mentioned this and I've heard this throughout the sermon series, has been that God establishes relationship first, and then he gives the rules. Mm-hmm. And so to have a rule without relationship just leads to rebellion is what happens. Mm-hmm. But when we recognize that God has established the relationship with us, then we are more willing to embrace, take on, and say, God, I can trust you in this. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the three things that come to mind. But we're literally marinating and stewing in the culture that says it's okay.
Yeah.
And we see people get rewarded for that.
Mm-hmm. I find your last point really interesting, too, about that issue of trust. Because we raised it before, and I'm kind of ruminating in my head if... Any sin really is a lack of trust, right? It's a lack of faith or a lack of belief in
it's breaking the first and second command of who we worship.
So they're all just like intertwined too. And just to think of how it represents the character of God too, because you're talking about the character of God. God's not a man that he should lie. And Jason, as you were preaching and when you mentioned you bring Jesus into it as the truth, he's called the way, the truth, and life. He's also called the Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word. And I just think about our whole Bible, you know, thankfully there's no lies in it, right? It's all language. It's from God. It's all true, and just how angry and how an affront to God it is when we separate words from reality, right? They should match up with reality. And you even have that power in the creation story where God is speaking, right? He's saying, let there be. And then, you know, things are created. You know, mm-hmm. reality comes. So God, you know, just to share that character of God, that love mm-hmm. of truth, you know, it's always that temptation mm-hmm. to separate those
so things. So we've been saved by God, we're created in his image. If he is a God of truth, it means we should be people of truth. Mm-hmm. And yet we still break this ninth commandment. We lie in general and we lie about other people. I mean, mm-hmm. kind of going back to that question, yeah. like, why do we do this? Like, mm-hmm. what is going on yeah. in our hearts? Mm-hmm. You know, I think Bill brought this up as like our attempt to make ourselves look better. Mm-hmm. And so we don't share the whole context or the whole story. We, you know, withhold maybe ways that we have failed and highlight other people's failures because mm-hmm. that kind of elevates how we look. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, I think there's two reasons why sometimes when we read the news, we read it. One is because people are doing the same thing we've done. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, wow, you know, and we identify with them, or maybe we even sympathize with them. But another reason is to look down our noses at people. Absolutely. And be like, mm-hmm. I think this is probably the more common reason. You're like, look, what an idiot. What a, you know, like I don't know how much this has impacted my behavior, but I used to listen to a lot of sports radio. And I still love, I'm like a huge sports fan. But if you think about like a lot of the conversations on ESPN or these other channels, mm-hmm. how often does it have to do with like their performance on the field versus like this decision this person made? You're questioning their character. You're really belittling these public figures and just kind of tearing them apart. And we kind of live as if this is okay. Where when people are just being, you know, just because they're a public figure doesn't mean we have the right to denigrate them and speak evil about them and accuse mm-hmm. them of things. When we're not there, we don't know the full context, we don't know the whole situation. And so I think we should be cautious about not just repeating lies, but entertaining ourselves, listening to slander about other people.
But there's a tremendous anger in many of the talk shows and the news reports of where it's like it's the good news, it's the bad news that gets the news, right? Mm-hmm. So you're clicking on those links because there's something in you that mm-hmm. it's like, why am I even clicking there? Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about it personally, it's like when I know that God loves me and he accepts me and he loves me with an everlasting love, mm-hmm. it's like, well, there's tremendous safety and security there, right? Mm-hmm. Not because of... it's whose I am. Mm-hmm. So that really does help me then to say, okay, there is not a need to defame another person. Jason, yeah. I was thinking about, you brought into the kind of, in the U.S. court system, what happens before you give testimony, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that statement, it says, you know, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the recognition of that, yeah. so help me God, is that no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, mm-hmm. my cry needs to be, so help me God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bill, I love that. I do think that's so important in terms of knowing, it's again, focusing on that vertical truth and mm-hmm. that vertical relationship mm-hmm. and what we believe about God. Because my problem is fear. I'm going to lie because I'm afraid. Yeah. And it's I'm either afraid of the consequences for me, or I'm afraid of what other people think of me or think of me less. But if I care much more about what mm-hmm. God thinks of me, then I'm going to say, you know what, let the chips fall where they may. I mm-hmm. am who I am. I'm a sinner, but God still loves me.
I think of like the practice of confession. Like, we should have a daily practice of like confessing our sins to God, and then also have a practice of confessing our sins to others. It's a little easier in ways to be like fully forthright to God, and a little bit harder when other people are there, because mm-hmm. we could face consequences. We don't know what they're going to think mm-hmm. about us. But even that, like, how specific am I willing to be if I'm confessing my sin? I'm like, yeah, I slipped up here. But I don't like share the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I kind of just enough to make me not look too bad and to have me not get in too much trouble or to, for you just to sympathize with me. And like, yeah, we struggle too. But if I shared a little bit more, you'd be like,
really? Jason? Yeah. I mean,
then people say, Jason, that was very brave of you. And, and they're like, yeah, they have no idea what I didn't share. I'm not that brave. So, Bill, I got a little nerdy before, and I do think we need that foundation of the truth about God. But one reason I was glad you're part of the discussion here is because I've seen you model it over the years and be very intentional. We talked about, I get to the practical, because it's just like, okay, how do we live a life in conformity, you know, to this truth? And you had an interesting, you brought up an interesting practice of prepared scripts. Tell us about prepared scripts. Yeah. What is that about?
So things should not be catching us by surprise. So Jason, and you referenced it a bit, you know, we're going to go to school, right? We're going to be in the work environment. There's going to be things where there will be false witness that's emanating from people's mouths and from their hearts. How do then I prepare to deal with that situation? So Brad, there's not one script that fits all, but I do believe in taking time and investing time of thinking through, how am I going to handle this? Am I going to, somebody's bearing false witness and Jason's talking about Brad, and so I'm in the room and I just stomp my feet and get up and storm out of the room. Well, that's probably not a great prepared script, right? I haven't really thought it through. But if I've thought about some ways that I can address that in a kind way, and it's going to look different for everybody. So yeah, Brad, the value of prepared scripts. And when I say prepared scripts, not only just in my head, but I need to verbalize them. I need to run them by Sharon, it's just my wife, and just say, how does this sound? Can you help me out with these things? So that's the value of prepared scripts, because we are going to face false witnesses, rumors, innuendos, whatever we say, and then how do I handle that?
Yeah. So I don't have any of those scripts myself. Do you have some examples of these?
Oh, no. How long do we have here? Yeah. So I can think about a particular situation in a work environment where the boss that I worked for was well known that he was not an ethical person, and that he was hurting people and stepping on people's heads to get to the next rung of the ladder. And I can remember at one point in time when I worked for the same organization basically for 35 years, somebody said, well, tell me about Fred. And at that point in time, I turned to the person who was asking me, who was in a very senior leadership in the organization. I said, Fred is Fred. And there was this pause, and the person just shook their head, and that was the end of the conversation. But that's an example, Jason, of, I'm not saying Fred is Fred, but that was one of my things I had, you know,
So let me push into that situation a little bit. Like, what if they're like trying to find out, hey, there's something here we need to like let this guy go because he's doing, was this that kind of a situation, or they're just like, Let's gossip about this guy. Like, what was the context?
Yeah,
there?
The person had been caught already, so they were already out of the organization. This was more around the lines of just let's have some more gossip and let's just pile on this person and
beat a man while he's down.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, part of it was like, because that makes me, well, I would never do that, or I can't believe the person did that. So it was, but yeah.
What are some other scripts?
So other scripts can just say, you know, when those things come up, it's just like, wow, you know what? I'm not perfect either. And I think, you know, being able to say that with a smile on your face, and it gives people pause. So that would be another script that I would think through of, you know. And then sometimes in other conversations we've stood and people have been piling on, it's just like, well, whenever I walk out of this room here, what are you going to say about me? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So again, given the right relationship and given
that's
the,
a little bit more like
yeah. Exactly. But it gives people pause because then they're thinking also it's like, well, yeah. If Sarah walks out of this room, what are they? Sarah's thinking like, what are they going to say about me? So, what is my behavior doing here? So,
that's a little more direct.
That's a little, yeah. I think you can be very. And then there can be times of where, given the situation, to where you talk to that person on the side, of where sometimes in a group setting, it's not going to be very productive, but to be able to engage their hearts, you know, in a private conversation where appropriate.
Yeah.
So again, but one script does not fit all.
Right. I've also, you know, you might say something like, I don't know the full story behind that. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe we should go talk to that person directly and get the whole story. But
I feel like this gets really tricky though, like when you're talking about relatives and there's tension in your family and is this just sorting through those tensions together, or now is this turning into us like, you know, talking, I can't believe they did this, can't believe, well, they're always this way. Like, how do we handle those? I mean, or that happens with your friend groups or your, you know, even in your community group, like someone always late, you know, they've got some problems in their life. It could be easy to subtly share some digs. Like, how do you evade that? How do we keep ourselves from responding those ways?
Well, I mean, I think within Christian circles, sometimes they say, well, we really need to pray about that. Well, let's pray about it right now. I mean, so when those situations come up, it's like, you know, Jason, man, I've seen him be late so many times, or I've seen him do this, and Brad and I are talking, well, let's pray for Jason, as opposed to just saying, well, we'll pray for Jason, and then we might forget about that. But I think that can
please
be helpful.
For me.
Yeah, well, right. I'm just using an example. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're trying to get creative about, you had talked about Ephesians 4. I can't remember which you brought it up at a time. Yeah, but which is everything from Ephesians 4, verse 25 through 29. Really, there's so much good stuff in here, but specifically with regard to the, you know, this commandment. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I just feel like, Bill, you're hinting at, there's so much in there, right? Because this does say there's not one script that fits all. You've got to do it according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's going to be different ways to, you know, sensitively react to each situation, but the goal needs to be building them up. The goal needs to be blessing them, you know, getting them to a better place.
One of the things I was thinking of too is, you know, scripts are great, but God wants our heart.
Yeah.
And if our heart's not in the right place, then we're going to be looking down to other people for their sinfulness while looking proud at ourselves and thinking we're better. And then we're just going to be in a position where we're going to start critiquing other people. I one of the practical questions I would think about this too is like, okay, there's public figures, and whether they're in a political office or it could be a pastor, or it could be a sport, you know, athlete. Like there's people, you know, a musician. They're in the news for something good or something bad they did. Or is it okay for us to talk about their failures, their flaws, the things they did? Like, is that because they're public, you know? We can talk about, like, what does that look like? Is it okay for us to have conversations about people's public failures?
If I do in the context of where I'm sad, and that it really does grieve me, Jason, to your point, to get to the heart and just not just throw somebody under the bus, right? Talk, I don't know if the term is out there, talk shade about them. I mean, just saying shade, those things, right? It's So how do I do it?
I think that's important. I don't know. It's not an easy question to answer because we have prophets, right?
Yeah.
Throughout the scriptures who talk truth to power and trash leadership in some ways. But they're speaking the words God would speak to that person. You know, they're, so I guess to think, is this what God would say to them? I don't know. It's a little hard to figure out.
I feel like there is, you know, a time for us to speak truth to power and to teach each other, like, this is not okay. We don't behave this way. We need to refrain from that kind of evil. Mm-hmm. But I would say far too often the reason why we communicate about those things is out of proud hearts. Mm-hmm. And I think we would do our heart and a lot of other people's hearts better if we didn't just spend all of our time gossiping about people's failures. Mm-hmm. And we got offline behind social media, off of social media, and stopped clicking. Like, every news site just... they're going to put the juiciest story on the website, and that's what's going to blow up, and everyone's going to talk about it.
Right.
You know, I think there was a really public one recently that just was on, I mean, you could think of any, but yeah, it just blows up, and someone's life blows up, and we're all talking about it now.
Yeah,
Jason, if there's one thing that you could probably say about five times in the sermon, get off. Stop it. I mean, literally, because that is an enticement for all of us, no matter if we're on Twitter or TikTok or whatever. Yep. Just we need to stop that. And I think there can be great, that's an addiction. So it's going to take some power of the Holy Spirit and believers and the Word of God to convince us of that. But that is a big trap out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm really reminded, Brad, too. I was thinking about, you know, Galatians 6 that talks about, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when I think about this, bearing false witness is like, dude, if I'm out there bearing false witness, that's going to come back to me in a multiple. Mm-hmm. And that's a very sobering thought. And that's not the only thing that keeps me from doing that or reminds me of that, but that's important that if I'm sowing false witness, I'm going to reap false witness.
Yeah, your point is it's not only wrong, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's not going to get what you want.
Why would I poke myself in the eye, right? With a sharp
stick? I mean, it destroys families, it destroys businesses, it destroys countries, and it destroys churches, you know, when there's bickering, fighting. Like, who wants to come into a church where we're all attacking each other and talking bad about each other instead of doing what Ephesians 4:29 says, letting no unwholesome speech come out of our mouth, but only what is, you know, best for building each other up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have one final question, but before I ask that question, let me just say, hey, was there anything else that was on your minds, topics, things you wanted to talk about that I didn't weave in? Anything else left?
Now, Jason, you did an awesome job with the message, and just the heart came through, and the practicality of the message is to take time, for me to take time to really think deep, like, and all of these Ten Commandments, but to think deeply and to really recognize that God is the one that has called me by name. I am His. Mm-hmm. He has given me these rules, and you said it, it's just because of the relationship and that He really does care for my best interest. So for as hard as this can be, it's for God's glory, my good, to reduce the amount of shrapnel, right? So Brad, it was a great message, Jason. Thanks for the time that you put into it.
Appreciate that. So that final question I hinted at was, all these messages, this one included, can beat us up, you know, quite a bit. And I'm sure there's people who already knew, or this message just revealed to them how dark their hearts were. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my story. I mean, I think I am spending my whole life learning how dark my heart is.
Yes.
And it's always darker than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, so for us to be exposed to God's holiness and this standard, and someone is just here knowing I've blown it, I've ruined people's lives. I've done damage. You know, there are things that can't be reversed. This is my history. This is my story. What would you say to those who have just been crushed by this this message or this command or this standard?
It kind of reminds me back. I preached about Judas earlier this year and how he responded to the crushing, you know, rejection he had betraying Jesus. That I guess when we read Scripture and we're confronted with truth, It can be utterly crushing as we see the full weight mm-hmm. of our sinfulness. But there, I forget the passage. Maybe you can remind me of it. When it talks about there's sorrow, there's just a godly sorrow and worldly mm-hmm. sorrow. Mm-hmm. A worldly sorrow leads to death. But a godly sorrow leads to repentance and leads to life. And so instead of us being crushed by the weight of our sin and just sitting there in misery, it should lead us to then be people of the mm-hmm. truth. We are honest. We tell the truth. And then we find our healing. And I brought this up at the end of the message, that it was a breaking of the ninth commandment. Jesus was falsely accused that brought his death. And as Peter says, it's by his stripes. It's through his death. It's through the cross that we are healed. And so we don't have to end in depression and sadness and sorrow over our failure. We can find great hope that God will heal us, and then we can do what we're commanded in the New Testament to be people of the mm-hmm. truth and put away falsehood.
Yeah. Let's cling to that hope, that grace, that gospel. Thanks for pointing us to it. Well, I think we'll probably get pointed to the gospel one more week. Come on back next week. We conclude this series with the 10th and final commandment, and written in stone. See you then.